Good morning, everyone. Thursday is a good day to be alive in Christ. Welcome to our broadcast today. I'm George Watkins, and we are plugged in and ready to roll in the things of God, talking about the good things of His kingdom. I welcome you. If you're new, you're welcome to stay around and see what's good on the menu. And if it's something that you are encouraged with, give us a like, give us a subscription, or sign up, you know, on YouTube, and then a thumbs up or a friend on Facebook. It'll be a help to us. Thank you for that. Now, when you woke up this morning, were you still forgiven, born again, a Christian? Had you lost something in the middle of the night concerning salvation? Now, those are silly questions. But when you think about it, some people think we can lose what God gives us just about that easy, like a fountain pen, like my keys that I lost last week. And I want you to know that I found both of them after God spoke to me about losing my keys and getting them back again. Well, I did. Got them both back. So you'll be happy about that. I want to talk today about faith as a muscle. You've heard me speak of this often. You've heard me call exercising the gifts a muscle, exercising our spirit a muscle. I want to talk about the exercising of faith. Back in the early 70s for me, maybe a little earlier, late 60s, I came across the first recording and some printouts, some mimeograph printouts of E.W. Kenyon. And what a revolution that was to the church. Faith and the teachings of faith. And we can have what we say, and we can declare, and we can believe that we are the righteousness of God, and so forth. Powerful stuff. Now, some of it had the feeling of E.W. Kenyon. Now, when I said Kenneth Hagin, I meant to say Kenneth Hagin, but E.W. Kenyon, before that, in the 50s, my dad brought home a stack of books by E.W. Kenyon, and we devoured them as a teenager. I began to read them, but when Kenneth Hagin began to teach on faith, he fleshed it out and he talked about it in, you know, terms we could understand, and the teaching of faith began to be in our world a major subject. Well, what happens in the kingdom? What happens in the church world as we know it? God usually really emphasizes something till we get it. Now, if we're not careful, we can park there, and that's all we ever talk about or speak about. And some people have done that in every revelation. The revelation of the just shall live by faith with Luther, and the revelation of water baptism with a Baptist, and the revelation of prophecy, and, you know, all the things that we've come into by God's grace. If we're not careful, we park at them. But this subject of faith and the life of faith is not a one-time thing. It's not a revelation of the 70s or something that we did back in the day, and now we're more modern, so we talk about social issues. Come on, no. Faith is the substance. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. So any type of approach to the subject and to the revelation of faith always has something fresh and something wonderful to it, because there's discovery every time you poke your little sand shovel in that thing and begin to poke around. You're going to find some nuggets you've never heard before or you've never seen. That's the beauty digging into the Word of God, and especially in this subject of faith. For the Scripture says, without faith, think about this for a moment, without faith, it is impossible. That's a big word for early in the morning. Impossible to please God. Oh my goodness. How often and how many times and how long has mankind tried to please God through physical suffering, sacrifice, duty, habits, repetition, and adding a whole bunch of stuff they thought would just, you know, bless God and please Him. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. I was talking to my son on the phone this morning, my younger son, Corbin, and we were talking about some of these subjects of the church and faith. And I made the comment that perhaps one of the biggest crimes and bondages that can happen to us is if someone teaches us religion instead of spirituality. And spirituality is knowing God personally. I was listening to a professor, he's quite famous now, on YouTube, Canadian professor. And he's had some sort of faith experience or encounter with the supernatural, with the Spirit of God or the spiritual. But he's an intellectual, and he's approached everything through the intellectual. And I'm listening to him on some of his podcasts and as he talks about his experience. And I'm beginning to be suspicious that it might be an intellectual approach to God instead of a heart-to-heart and a spiritual. I pray it's not. But if it is, if it's just an intellectual approach, then he's going to end up in the same place that the religious end up, and that's just form without faith or without power. Now, I want to encourage you that faith is a muscle. So we have faith in the form of a gift, the gift of faith. So a gift is given. And in that area of the gift of faith, that seems to be in the category where we get something we can use for an occasion, a moment, a miracle, a supernatural act. The gift of faith comes in and we have the ability to walk on water. We have the ability to, you know, run through a troop and leap over a wall, all those things. It's kind of the gift of faith. But the Scripture talks about the measure of faith, in Romans 12:3. So a measure seems to be a seed planting. He's planted a measure or a seed plant in us. And that seed is like a plant that needs to grow and mature. Faith needs to grow and mature. Now we have, in the Scriptures, we have no faith, little faith, weak faith, and great faith. All those things are different descriptions of the, well, would it be the size or the impact or the, you know, the output? How would Jesus say, "O ye of little faith," if he didn't just see their output effect? And it was the fact that they didn't quiet the storm when they could have. If they had done the same things that Jesus did at that moment, stand up and say, "Cut it out," and the storm settled down. So faith then is a muscle. Well, how do we exercise muscles? You don't exercise muscles. Now, this hand has great dexterity, and this one doesn't. You know why? Because this one runs the TV remote, and my fingers are strong and they have great ability. That's exercise. illustration. But if you're laying on the couch and you expect your muscles to grow, you won't get it that way. You've got to get up, go outside, and do something that's going to make your muscles sore. And if your muscles are sore when you come back, you have broken them down so that they can replenish bigger. what happens is you tear your muscle down. If you're in an exercise club, they'll tell you to rip them and tear them and whatever they do. It sounds awful. But what happens, and they reproduce and grow back bigger, and they get bigger and bigger. That's how muscle people, muscle men, as we used to call them, grow muscles. And they, you know, they have these pictures of their arms. And as young men, we always wanted to see our arms, how big they were. And we'd show them off, or we would pump them up. We exercised unto muscles. My dad said he knew a guy that was muscle bound. Well, that's a subject I'm not dealing with today. I'm not trying to be muscle bound. But he said he was so muscle bound he couldn't comb his own hair because his muscles were so thick and big that his arms wouldn't bend in far enough. Well, that's a silly illustration. But growing your muscles happens because you stretch them and you exercise them until they hurt. So what does God do? He gives us a scripture. I think it's an interesting one. And he talks about the mystery of godliness. So first of all, he says we need to, in 1 Timothy 4:18 or 4:8, we need to exercise unto godliness. And then he says in the third chapter of that same book, 1 Timothy, that there is a mystery of godliness. So here it is. A mystery is something we dig in, and when we dig in, we exercise our ability to see and hear, and our faith is peaked. It keeps getting peaked, or we hit the end of it. Wham! That's as far as my faith goes. But because we believe God's given us something to dig into, we dig a little further, and our faith grows, and our faith grows. We exercise unto godliness. Godliness is a mystery, and so we dig into it. I've told you about my friend that is a caver, and he finds those little cracks or little holes that nobody has seen, or they haven't seen forever or been a long time. And he'll take the bushes out of the way and all the berry vines and pull some rocks back and find a hole big enough to get his body through there with his spotlight. And he'll dig in there until he opens up into a cavern so large that you could have a company of soldiers marching in there. Now, the mystery of godliness is the same exercise. You find a crack, a little sliver that you desire to search into, a revelation, an experience in God, a time in prayer, a scripture verse, something that's just like that little hole in the wall or a hole in the mountainside. And you take the debris back, you begin to peel it back, you study it, you meditate, you pray about it, you get some, you know, backup concordances, whatever helps you study. And suddenly, bam-o, the thing opens up and you see and hear something. That's the muscle of faith. You're exercising unto godliness. So, up and down, 1, 2, 1, 2. Amen. All right. I learned to count to 10 because I counted all the reps that I used to do as a young man. Do 10. Give me 10. I remember the coach at our school used to do that if you wanted to get you in shape or punish you. George, drop down and give me 50. All right. Well, enough of that pain. So what do we do with that? Right in front of your lovely spiritual self is a little crack in the wall or the mountain. And I want you to dig into that this week. I want you to spend some time searching some things that you're just curious, spiritually curious about. What is God saying there? And you'll find it as you peruse through the Bible, reading and studying, or at least, you know, reading your daily expressions of the word. Or you'll hear it in a sermon, or you'll hear it on the radio, or you'll just think of a thought, and God will drop a hunger to search something out. Don't let it drift. Don't let it set too long. Go for it, because it's a now word for you to exercise your faith unto godliness. Faith is a muscle. If you'll exercise it, you'll have great faith someday. And it won't be long. Doesn't take long to have great faith. You say, well, God gives us faith by giving us problems and, you know, disasters and all kinds of bad stuff. I believe the best way to grow faith is to search his word, dig into his kingdom, and find the expression of his love. Amen. When you do, your faith will be strong when all these other storms come along, and they won't affect you at all. Just like Jesus in the boat, he just rebuked it. The disciples in the boat were terrorized. They were clutching each other and writing out their last will and testament. No. You've got it. You got the measure. You got the God kind of faith. Galatians 2:20 says, I live by the faith of Christ, who loved me and gave himself for me. So I got his faith. I'm not lacking in faith. I just need to let it grow and exercise. Well, bless you guys. On this Thursday morning, I bless you and I love you, and I send our grace and peace to you through Jesus Christ. Don't forget, subscribe, like us, give us friends, and share it with somebody. If the Lord's nudging you to send us a financial blessing, do so, and it will be appreciated, and we bless you back multiplied times over. Amen. Well, until tomorrow, which is, ding, 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 my favorite day of the week, Friday. We'll see you then. Be strong. Stay true to your convictions. Let your faith increase, and you watch God bless you beyond measure.